Good evening.
Hello.
Hello.
Sunday evening again.
Yep.
We have Sid at the table tonight.
Sitting in a chair, just like us, at the table.
She's supervising, I think.
Monitoring the situation.
Are you making sure we do a good job, Sid?
And the rationing or distribution of jelly beans.
To get through the podcast. So, different again today. It's always different.
Yeah, you just never know. Including us.
Yeah, so those of you in Ontario will know this, but back end of the week last week, this being Sunday the 24th of March, we had a, I don't know, 10 centimetres, maybe more of snow on Friday into Saturday. So that meant that Saturday riding was not really possible because everything was super wet and snowy. And then last night got cold with the wind, so then it didn't thaw out. And it's been sunny today and quite pleasant, but the ground's just wet. So even the places we ride that are dry, with the cleanup and everything, and we had some other stuff to do, we just decided today was one of the unusual days where we didn't actually go ride. So,
yep, it was better to just call it. But, yeah, not enough snow, but
too wet.
Too wet.
And it's not cold enough for long enough, because this morning it was -2 until 11. And then the trouble is the sun comes out and everything just melts, and then it's not rideable. It's just a big sloppy mess. So, and depending on where we go, you can takes you as long to clean the bike up as the ride, which I don't mind sometimes. But
if it's going to be a great ride, I think it's worth it. But if it's going to be a mediocre to not great ride plus a horrendous cleanup, that's it.
Yeah, and I ended up cleaning two bikes twice last weekend. So this weekend I just thought, you know what, let's not do it. So, but we do have a plan on days like this, which are not many.
True, which is to go and investigate potential future riding spots that we are not sure about.
Yeah. It's quite often good to go somewhere that is unclear for whatever reason and just go walk around and have a look and see what is what. So that's what we did today.
Yeah, and sometimes we come back from some places saying, ooh, that was definitely rideable, and there's no signs or anything saying that we can't. So we might have found a new place, and other times, like one of the spots today, that we thought, no, definitely that's just more of a
wild edibles place.
Yeah, a bushwhacking romp. Which we also love, but not on two wheels, on 2 feet.
No, so our first place was Mud Lake, which is actually Mud Lake Conservation Area, which is just off of the Welland Canal. If you happen to live in Welland or be in Welland, you could ride along the canal and access it from the canal.
Or Port Colborne, too. It's kind of in the middle, eh?
Yeah, or Port Colborne. And this wasn't somewhere I would normally even direct anybody to. It is a conservation area, and there's bird watchers and three trails. There's a blue trail, a sort of orange trail, and a yellow trail, the blue trail being the longest. I can't remember how many kilometres it was now.
3 point something?
Yeah, 3.5 kilometres, the blue one. But I mean, if you went there for a ride, and I'll talk about why in a minute, you could do the blue, you could do the yellow, and you could do the red. You could do all three, and then you probably got 10k in. And
I was going to say, just about.
There's a few other little sneaky trails over there, isn't there, as well?
There was. There indeed was.
And I think the whole site is like 60-odd acres, maybe nearly 70 acres, and seems to be quite critical to wildfowl moving around from south to north or north to south. It seems to be quite a good feeding zone because of the mud, I think.
Quite a hot spot. I mean, we did meet someone there who was hot on the trail of the, what kind of bird was
it? Blue-winged teal.
Blue-winged teal. He said he had just just learned of a sighting 15 minutes prior to his arrival. I thought that was excellent.
Yeah, he was, and he didn't look like a bird spotter, did he? He had his binoculars inside his coat, and like he looked quite, looked like he'd just come from the shops.
Yeah, and he really wasn't like in a rush to get out there either. But then, when he shared that, you know, this hot tip, I thought he might have had a little more pep in his step. Anyways, that was cool.
So someone had a conversation with somebody at the back end of last week who was new to mountain biking and completely new. So I saw a few other people advise that going to various places and riding blue trails would be fine. And it would be easy and various other things. And then having had a conversation with the individual myself, it turns out that they'd not been on a bike for 20 years. The person was over 50. Not the most in shape of people either, as in is doing this because they're overweight. But, you know, saw something on mountain biking, has now followed YouTube channels and kind of got into it. But unlike a lot of people, is actually sensible enough to go, I'm going to kill myself if I try and ride down something too scary. So the advice of just go to short hills, you'll be fine, everything's easy, is not helpful or true. Because if you've never ridden a mountain bike off-road before, you get on a mountain bike, full suspension or hardtail, and you go to short hills and you start riding down some of those hills not knowing how to brake, you're going to hurt yourself.
You might not like mountain biking after that. Or you might love it and be awesome at it. But
you might, but it's not going to be good. It's unlikely to be a good experience. And I think the fact that the person was showing some sort of
hesitation?
Yeah, or sensible caution.
Sensible caution.
Like the person wasn't all like bravado and like, yeah, I'll send it, I'll be fine. Was actually like, no, I'm going to knock my front teeth out if I try and do anything too scary. So my point for bringing all this up is, if you are new to it, Mud Lake would actually be a good place to give a try to when it's dry, on a sunny, you know, summer, spring, autumn evening, because there is some downs and ups. Like, it's a lake, it's flat generally, but there's a few like steep down or down and left turn, and there's a few maybe marshy little swampy sections. To go somewhere and just with your new mountain bike and figure it out when it's dry, if you'd rode around there 10 times and then you went to one of the proper trail systems, you'd then be ready to tackle the blue, I think. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. So one of the reasons I mentioned this place was because I thought it would be an excellent place for like young kids or beginners, and even seasoned riders if you just fancy a, you know, quick cruise around to look at the birds and the animals in the evening, without sending it off of stuff.
Yeah, or as we used to mention often, a nice little family outing too, because again, it's not too long if you've got some little ones with you.
No, plenty of loops back to the car park actually. Yeah. So yeah, and it's, we like this place, don't we?
We do.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. The trail that goes around the edge literally does go around the edge. It goes, you know, like along the road and then down a wooded bit and then follows the canal and then comes back again. And when we were in there, there was snow on the ground and we were the only people, it's like being in the wilderness, to walk down one of the trails. But
well, maybe there was a little bunny rabbit ahead of us.
Yeah.
Well, we saw some tracks.
Quite a few bunny rabbit tracks.
And deer.
So, yeah, so check out Mud Lake and dry day, especially when they're not hunting, go and give it a cruise round, I think.
I would second that.
Yeah. And then we went to another destination, but before that, you found a few things out and about today, didn't you?
Yeah. Do you want me to mention one before the next destination?
Yeah.
So we did identify a new mushroom this weekend that I don't know how common or uncommon they are, but I've never spotted one in my travels, and it was just such a delicious color. In fact, it really quite reminded me of the lobster mushrooms, that just color. Incredible orange, red orange shade. Like, I can't even describe it. So anyways, what we discovered were cinnabar red polypores, and they must have been youngsters because I do believe that they fade as they mature, so might not be quite such a lobster reddish orange shade.
Vivid color.
Vivid, yes, thank you. So we found those little suckers on dead or dying deciduous wood. Unfortunately, we did learn that they are inedible. But what else can I tell you? I believe that they can be 2 to 12 centimeters in sort of diameter. And they are semicircular or kidney-shaped. And again, that, like, just quite stunning. You know what? I'll even use the word spectacular. A spectacular red-orange shade. And they have a suede-like surface. And we did say polypore, so polypores on the underside. And if you are so inclined, their spore print is white.
I wonder if you could use them to dye clothing. You know, like, historically, a lot of clothing was dyed using plants and... Yeah. Plant matter. I wonder if that would...
If it's a thing with mushrooms?
Yeah. Especially that vivid colour. I mean, I guess you'd... Trouble is, if you boiled it down, it would just go brown, wouldn't it, the liquid?
You probably. Never know.
But I just wondered... Not that I'm about to rush out and try it, but...
It's just I mean, my eyes are very attracted to that colour. Like a... Just such a rich sort of burnt orange.
Yeah, it's a cool colour. That you don't see very often in the wild as a wild colour.
Precisely.
So.
That's exactly it. An unusual colour for out in nature.
Yeah. Agreed.
Yeah, so that was a little treat on our travels this weekend.
So we then cruised on to a really cool name place, Wainfleet Bog. Bog as in the marshy bog, not toilet, as is the English slang. So, oh. Anyway.
And it was a bog.
It was very wet and marshy. And in fact, the main trail that went to the boardwalk and the observation place, where I was hoping to see a sea eagle, was flooded to the point where our new Wellington boots would not have gone deep enough.
So. Not been sufficient and a long way of... Flood. In fact, I should have taken a photo of that. That would have been a great thumbnail. Really inviting. Yeah, come check out this place.
Come and have a look at this place. So, Wainfleet Bog was a place where they extracted peat. Peat for fires, I believe, and then probably latterly agriculture. And we did find out that it was where German prisoners of war merchant seamen were staying, and they made friends with the local area or locals in the area. Some of them even came back after the war.
I know, I thought that was just such a cool story.
It said that they integrated well, not infiltrated. Yeah, it was cool. And the thing that I really liked is when you go in, if you go to this place, was there is a really cool set of pictures of... Or set of pictures. There is a really cool thing to take pictures of, which is a very old rickety railway line that kind of has clearly been there for a long time and looks very cool.
And it was just one chunk of it, though, eh?
Yeah, it was bizarre. I think there's more of it, but I don't know where, to be honest. I wonder if it's further in and it was used to extract the peat, I believe.
Well, guess who's going to go on a hunt to find that?
So yeah, if you search online, you see there's quite a big railway area, but it looks like it's always pretty flooded. So
right,
take your waders.
And you did say, too, that wasn't this one of the only places down this way that there are rattlesnakes?
Yeah, there is. So, it's unique, apparently, because, however, the ecosystem has been kind of changed, I suppose. There's rattlesnakes in there. They're the same rattlesnakes that you get in the northern states, so the Detroit area, apparently.
Huh. Was it the Massasauga one?
Yeah, the Massasauga rattlesnake.
Yes.
And apparently there's a population in there, and they just like hanging out because it's the right ecosystem. So
you were looking for them today, but
it was a bit cool, I think.
A bit chilly, but you never know. I thought we could see one maybe sunbathing in the bright sunshine that we had today.
Yeah, I guess so.
Maybe next time.
Maybe. But we did see we don't know if it was an otter or a beaver. I think we decided it was an otter.
I'm not certain. I'm pretty darn sure that it was an otter.
It was one or the other, and it was cruising.
He was so sweet, just cruising down from his little home up the stream.
Gave us an eyeball.
He did.
Dived under the water.
Yep.
Disappeared.
Said, peace out.
So.
Laters.
So we had a stroll around this place. We kind of found our own path, which I think is maybe one that the hunters use. But it was quite magical, because when we stopped for tea, there was no noise, was there, apart from the water and the odd aeroplane. Couldn't hear any road noise, which is unusual.
No people. No, just actually a ton of birds. I mean, I suppose it is sort of that time of year, but so many different bird sounds.
One particular one there was a lazy woodpecker that was like tap, 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 tap.
Maybe he was having tea.
Tap, tap. He was quite lazy. And then I thought, well, maybe it's somebody banging. And then there was another one started further away. And I was like, oh, that's just the way they work then. And then there was a bird that sounded like a bicycle wheel that was catching on a brake. Like, it was like, oot.
That actually is pretty accurate. I was going to say he sounded a bit more like a whistle to me. But you said squeaky bike wheel.
So that was what we do. We have got a bicycle and mushroom podcast. Maybe I was trying to angle our way around there. And then whilst strolling around there, you found something that could be of interest, I believe.
Well, so we did not collect any, but I will next time for sure. We identified some yellow rocket, or also known as bitter wintercress. Bittercress, rocket crest, or winter rocket, all the names. So this is part of the mustard family, so it is quite bitter, I would expect. Cool thing, though, is that it is available throughout the winter, which excites me anyways, yeah. Because things always get a little slower in the winter months on the edible front. So, as I said, raw, the leaves, it sounds like they can be quite bitter. We like bitter, so we're excited to try it. But in terms of what it looks like, I would say it sort of resembles like baby arugula in its shape. And they kind of grow in a cluster, and clusters can often grow together. So I would say you're looking for young leaves up to about maybe 4 inches long to harvest. And again, this being quite strong, I would think you would use sort of a small amount fresh or to sort of spice something up a little bit. Or you could also treat it like spinach by blanching it or cooking it. And in fact, I was even reading a recipe that said one lady, she soaks it in milk, probably to tame the bitterness.
Right.
And then cooks it with butter and mushrooms. And I thought, that sounds delightful.
Well, we'll report back on that and give it a try.
I think we just might. And as a little bonus, come early summer, they do grow bright yellow flowers, which are also edible.
Oh, cool. We can give those a go.
So, to be can see you later, bitter winter grass.
So, do you have anything else you would like to add?
Which location did you like better?
I like Mud Lake. I mean, I did like the Wainfleet Bog because of the history and the fact that it's feels properly wild and abandoned. I would like to get all the way in there and see what that's like, but I do like Mud Lake more so after walking around it this time completely, whereas before when we'd been, we did less. So, yeah, and there's not many weekends in a year where we don't get out and ride, to be honest. So, you know, I often feel quite sad when we get to a Sunday if I've not ridden, but we did a good amount this weekend, you know.
We spent quite a lot of time out in the woods this weekend.
And discovered a few places we didn't know, so. We also went on a little explore last night as well, didn't we?
We did.
We went on a ghost walk in Niagara on the lake last night.
We did.
Just because we're trying to learn the area as much as anything, so. Yeah, so we had a bit of a trek around last night as well. I brought that up just because that's, you know, that was three walking trips.
Yeah, yes, my boots got a lot of action this weekend. They sure did.
And it was bitterly cold last night, wasn't it?
Holy smokes, I'm surprised I lasted as long as I did. Had all my turbo jet packs on. Well, I think that about sums it up. So until next time,
get lost.